be with you this morning. Come on, it is such a privilege always to be in the presence of the Lord with God's people. You know, when we gather in His name, it says that He's there in the midst of us. That really does mean anything is possible. When we gather in His name, when we enthrone Him in our praises, when His lordship takes a seat among us, anything is possible. Circumstances that were out of alignment, all of a sudden, because of His dominion, His authority that is resting in that place, there is the option, there is the potential for dramatic stuff to happen. Things that can shift in a moment that you thought were, you know, you're years away, in a moment, the Lord can bring a shift to those things. So have great hope. If you came in here today and you are needing breakthrough in an area of your life, you need the Lord to step in to your situation, to your moment, please raise your hopes. Put your hopes not in the service, not in some speaker's going to call you out and give you a word, not in any of those things, but the fact that Jesus is present. That He's here, He's among us, that His kingdom is at hand. Come on, would you take your hands, just look at them, right? Like this, now show them to me, a little bit of jazz hands here. Come on, yeah. All right, look at those hands. Repeat after me. These hands have the kingdom in them. Everywhere I put these hands, the kingdom gets extended. These are dangerous hands. All right, come on now. Would you lay a hand on the person sitting next to you? Come on. Put a hand on someone's shoulder. You know, if you're sitting by yourself, just lay your hand on your own self, all right? Yeah, it's legal, by the way. Lay hands on oneself. It's legal. It's legal. Come on. Let's decree together that the lordship of Jesus would touch their life today. Come on. We're extending His kingdom. Come on, just announce it to them. The kingdom of God is at hand. His kingdom is touching your life today. What was impossible before, it is possible in His presence. Come on, would you be so bold as to say, you'll never be the same. Come on, amen. Amen. All right. That's good. Now, if you find yourself single and you happen to be touching a lovely lady that's sitting next to you, you know, feel free to squeeze and let her know you're interested. Just go a little bit, just a little tap on the shoulder, like, hey, it's my birthday. I get to do whatever I want today. So we're going to have all the single guys line up over there and all the single ladies. No, just kidding. Come on. One of the greatest privileges of my life is being married to my wife. She is my hero, and I just love her so much. So, yeah, I'm gonna pray and open us up and jump into the Word this morning. But Nick, would you actually share what you shared last night? Is that possible? Yes. Is that? All right, so you can get your thoughts together as would just join me in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your presence in this place, all that You're doing, all that You want to do. God, the potential, because You're present. Lord, we just are so grateful for it. We invite You, Holy Spirit, would You come and have Your way? Holy Spirit, would You come and have Your way? Lord, do what only You can do. God, come and have Your way this morning. Lord, in this place, we decree that revelation would be released, that people's hearts and minds would be awakened to the reality of who Jesus is, that they would be transformed from the inside out. And Lord, we also decree that wisdom would be released this morning. Lord, that we would know how to behave, that our lives would be able to demonstrate it in practical ways. God, that the world around us would be transformed as well by the revelation of who You are, Jesus. God, we just decree these things this morning. We invite You once again, Lord, come and have Your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Would you welcome my wife up as she comes here? Yeah, here at the house, we absolutely believe in the prophetic, that God's talking to people, that the Holy Spirit within you is communicating with you. That absolutely He speaks through His word, the written word, The scriptures have been written down and preserved through all these years for a reason. And God is consistent. You know, who he was before, he is now and will be in the future. The way that he has communicated throughout all of the years, he stays consistent. He spoke to those in the past. He spoke to prophets in the past. He spoke to people, communed with people. His presence is real, and he is with you. He's with us. Are you with me this morning? So often in times of worship, the Lord will be speaking in the midst of us. He'll give visions or pictures to people. He'll talk to you about what's going on in your life. You know, times of worship happen to be opportune moments from hearing from the Lord because he's present. And it just is, it's so wonderful to be in his presence with his body. There's a greater picture among us because we get to see the different body parts. We're here in his manifested presence. And last night during worship, the Lord gave Nicole a picture, and it was profound, and it relates really, really well with what I'm going to share today. So I asked her to share it last night, and I'd like for her to do that again today.
All right, so last night I saw a picture of a door that was closing, and I had the sense that that the Lord was actually the one closing the door. And it wasn't being slammed shut, though. It was closing, you know, kind of softly and slowly. And at the same time, another door was being opened. And what I felt like the Lord was saying is that there really is a new day and a new season, but that we have the opportunity to choose where we stay. We can stay in the old season as the door closes, but just know that then we're in that season, like we have to go around the mountain again. You know, which is okay, because the Lord will be with us, you know, but we have the opportunity to let go of whatever it is that we're holding on to and move into the door that's opening. And I just felt like there was a word of encouragement, because sometimes things that hold us back can be negative things, you know, hurts, things that happen in our life, and we feel stuck. But sometimes we have good things that we're holding on to as well. And the Lord is just beckoning us, like saying, just trust me, because we can't see what's through the door. So that's what's the scary part, is that we just have to trust the Lord that there's more, and that we can, if we follow him through to the new season, I think there's going to be divine answers, there's going to be provision, there's going to be the next thing. And just to testify to my own prophetic word, I don't know if you can really do that legally, but this morning when I woke up...
You encourage yourself in the Lord.
Right? That's right. Yes, I'm encouraging myself. Thank you.
Yeah, you got this.
This morning when I woke up, I had a stream of thoughts, and they were about issues that I had been struggling with and trying to figure out the answers. And I knew that I wasn't seeing them clearly before, but I couldn't see them clearly. And this morning it was like all of a sudden I realized, oh, like, and it just was so obvious, and it was right in front of my face the whole time, but I just couldn't see it before. And so I feel like it was just a sign of, nope, this is a new season. There's a different way of looking at things. There's a different way of thinking. The Lord's doing something new. And if we just like will embrace what he's doing in this season, I think we're going to really be surprised and amazed at his faithfulness.
So. Come on. Thanks, babe. Yeah, so Lord, we just respond to that. God, we have our hands open. You know, would you just take your hands, just put them, just face up. There's something about that, like, it's like a vulnerable position. It's just, Lord, so we just, Lord, we make ourselves not just available, but we're saying, yes, Lord, we are relinquishing, Lord, we're letting go of that which has come, Lord, in our past. God, we're letting it go, and we're stepping boldly into the new day. Lord, we are even good things that we want to cling to, Lord, but you are inviting us into a brand new day, and so we open our hands to them, Lord. You know, he's not going to rip stuff out of your life. That's not the point. He's, you know, often he leaves things and lets things remain Often he's given you things that are to remain, but sometimes what he has given you in one season, it was meant for that season, and he has something new in the next. And so, Lord, we let go. We're inviting you, Holy Spirit, would you come, and Lord, with your holy wind, and would you remove, Lord, would you take, Lord, we lay it down at your feet, and we step into the new. We step into the new. The Holy Spirit, I'm asking right now that you would seal the word, Lord, and that you would cause, Lord, the words that I'm about to speak, Lord, that you would bring a holy sifting, that you would help us, give us strong aid this morning, Lord. God, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Come on. Come on. Yeah, those are appropriate moments to elbow your neighbor and go, I think that was for you. Like, I told so many stories of my time in the service, mostly because of all the lessons that I learned the hard way. You know, it was just a season of the Lord giving me, you know, lump after lump of learning lessons, and there's lots of comical stories that have actually come out of it. But I was pondering the scripture that he had given me to speak this week and to talk to you guys about, and this one story came out, so I'll share it to open up today. My last assignment in the military, I was attached to a special operations unit in North Carolina. And we, part of our job was these were extreme operators. That's the top echelon of special forces, if you will. And I was part of the support team. But being part of the support team, they required us also to be in the same type of shape that the operators are in as well. And so they invited us. Well, invite is a. It was part of my job every day to work out. I spent 3 hours in the gym every day. Yeah, I know, you can tell now, right? Yeah, this was years ago. But it was part of my job to work out. And once a week, every Tuesday, the entire unit was invited out to what we lovingly referred to as the pit. The pit was about the size, about these two sections of chairs, or the center section of chairs. It looked like a volleyball court without the net. Just a sand pit. And our whole unit was invited out to sit in the pit once a week, every Tuesday morning. We would go out and we would do these trials, these tests, fitness tests. We would do push-ups until you wanted to die. We would do sit-ups until you wanted to. Yes. We would then do flutter kicks until your insides felt like they're on the outside. You know, you're feeling the burn. You're in the sand. Everyone around you is moaning and groaning. It's just really a fun time. Jumping jacks, pull-ups. And the goal was always to max out what you were capable of doing. And some of us had great attitudes about it, others of us didn't. But because we were all together in it, there was this sort of breed of competition that would happen. You know, like who can knock out 150 push-ups in one go? Like, can you do it? Can you? And we were always one-upping each other. We're always pushing each other. And by the time you leave the pit, you're absolutely, utterly exhausted. And, you feel good about yourself like 2 weeks later, but in that moment, you are just wasted, tired. Well, I'm new to this unit, and we go to the pit, and I thought I was in pretty decent shape, you know, going into this. I worked out a lot, and was a runner, but went into the pit. We come out of the pit, and then we go on a trial run. It's a timed run, and the distance of this run is 3 miles. Now, if you know anything about running, any runners in here? A few of us. Listen, a 3-mile run is like the worst run. The distance is not long enough for your heart to actually adjust and end up in a resting heart rate where you're able to just lock into a mode where, you know, like if you go and you knock out 10 miles, about 20 minutes into it, your heart actually settles into sort of this heart rate where it's sustainable. And then it's just, you just got to crank out the miles. But a 3-mile run, you never really get there. It's just pain. It's just work. You know, you lessen it down, a 2-mile run. Listen, 2-mile runs, a trial 2-mile run, it's basically a sprint. You can get in good enough shape where you just push through it and you can knock it out. But a 3-mile run, you never really get there. It's just terrible. And so we leave the pit utterly exhausted, and we're going to go and do these trial runs. And here's the deal. They were asking that we all get down to a running pace of 3 miles in 15 minutes to 20 minutes. 5-minute miles, man, are no joke. That's a run. You know, and thank goodness they give us the extra minutes. But this is what they were asking of us. They wanted us to get to this type of a pace where you are in an all-out run. And so the whole unit gets out there. Some of us are in great shape. Some of us aren't. And, I'm a couple miles into this thing, and I'm puking. But I got guys around me who are just going for it, and the competitor in me refuses to let go. And the utter misery of the first time, it was amazing to me. The test of the experience, it revealed where I was actually at in my fitness. You go to the gym, anybody ever do this before? You go to the gym and you look around the room and you sort of like recognize where you're at in the spectrum of fitness. Anybody? No? Okay. Me either. Look, I'm a competitor. If you put me next to somebody and we are, you know, like there's the option of winning, I'm going to win. Like, I'm going to do anything in my power to win. I want to win. When a few years back, we were having a fun night with the youth, and volleyball was involved. Yeah. They know this because I punished them. I'm like, set me up. Ba-da! You know, boom, knocking little children on the ground. It was awesome. Like, stamping the word Spalding across people's foreheads. You know, they're like, you're the pastor. You can't do that to us. I'm like, I'm winning. What are you talking about? This is the goal. If you don't, you know, if you want to cry, go home to mama. Like, I'm a competitor. I like to win. Right? I want to push myself. But there was something about the 3-mile run. And really this whole experience is that it wasn't just about fitness. They were testing something else. There was more to it than just getting in shape. If you just want to get in shape, you know, you get on a treadmill a couple times a week and you will relatively get yourself into some endurance. But this wasn't just about endurance. This was about testing the fortitude that's on the inside. This is about mind over matter. This is about, can you push through pain? This was the test of how operational ready are you for that next assignment? You know, are you capable, but are you the best? Are you the person we should choose for this next role because stuff is actually on the line? You know, and so when you are amongst people that are all trying, vying for, yes, it's me, and you're answering the question, yes, it's me. I want it to be me. I've signed up for this. This is the reason I'm here. Something in you rises to the challenge. You go for it. There's something in the test itself that draws greatness out of you. The test wasn't just designed to find out how physically fit you are. The test is actually designed to prove how mission ready you are. Would you repeat after me? Mission ready. Each one of us have a calling on our life. I know that because Jesus has called you. You wouldn't be sitting here this morning unless you responded to his voice. He knows his sheep. He calls them by name, and they follow him. You ended up here this morning for a reason. Like, I'm guessing you didn't accidentally get here. Maybe somebody brought you. Maybe you were invited by a friend. Maybe, I don't, you know, circumstances all may be different, but the Lord is a part of it. He's on the journey with you, and he knows how to get you to where he wants you to go. You have a mission in life. It's not just haphazard, and it's not accidental. He's called you by name, and he is leading you. And he's not leading you unto nothing. Listen, I like journeys. I like adventures. I like working hard for stuff as long as there's a point. I don't mind sweating. I don't mind bleeding. I don't mind going for it where it costs me as long as there's a point. Right? If you invite me into a journey, but we're not actually going anywhere, I'm going to be frustrated fast. Is there anybody else that's going to make me feel good about that? Like, that's you this morning. Okay, a few of us. All right. I'm preaching to you then. The rest of you can go home. It's fine. Think, we're winning. It's fine. We're winning. I like journeys with a point. I like and have learned to appreciate tests when they are associated with a reason. A trial or pain when it doesn't have any reason attached to it. Like, I don't sign up for pain. I am willing to go through the valley because on the other side of the valley is something worth sacrificing for.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, Jeff. Jesus is leading you, and there is a mission. The question this morning is, are you mission ready? Are you, you know, some would say, yes, Lord, send me. And there's this exuberance. There is zeal. I mean, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence for the first time, and you're feeling squeaky clean, clean. Right? When you are, when life enters your spirit for the first time, and you're alive like you've never been alive before, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the gifts of the Holy Spirit happen for the first time, do you remember these moments? Man, if they haven't happened for you yet, don't worry, they're coming. It's awesome. It's powerful, life transforming. In those moments, you're like, sign me up, Jesus. Sign me up, Jesus. I want that word. I want that prophetic word that prophesies my destiny. You're looking for it. You are looking at people wanting, drawing it out. God, give me the commission. Send me to the nations. I want to go, Lord. Proverbs 30 says that every word of God is tested. That every word of the Lord is tested. That he is a refuge for those. That the word itself is your refuge, and the word itself, when it is released over you, it demands the test. That when you get the word, when you receive the mission, it's not just all systems go. There is an actual process that you begin to enter into as soon as the word comes. The seed enters your heart, but it is going to face a type of test and trial so that it can prove that you actually are mission ready. Every person in here will go through tests in their lives. If you're called to the Lord, if you're on the journey with Jesus, I can guarantee that you have faced tests, that you may right now be in the middle of a test, and that you absolutely will face tests and trials. The reason I know this is because God is trying to prove that you are the right one for the job. He has determined from eternity that you have been chosen, that you are the right, you're the man for the job, you're the woman for the job. He chose you, and when he chose you and you responded yes, that sets you up now to be proven. And when you become proven, when you become mission ready, oh my, watch out. Everybody goes through tests. Everybody gets to go through trials. It's a part of the journey. Yay! Isn't that good news? It's great news. You know, every Tuesday, we'd head out to the pit, and there were some of us who were excited about it. We were excited because we had been working all week on push-ups, sit-ups. We had been training. We know not just that, you know, that we're going to have a good old sweaty time, like we're going to get all, you know, tired, and maybe some of us enjoy working out. Some of us enjoy it. Some of us, like, that process itself is something to look forward to, but there is a whole nother group of people, though, that see it as a problem. They view the test, they view the pain that they're about to go through as pointless because they can't see the other side of it. They carry into the pit a bad attitude. And when you have a bad attitude and you're heading towards pain, misery becomes your companion. And those who are miserable, the complaining, the ones that don't see the point, the ones that don't understand the process, the ones that, listen, if you have a bad attitude about the thing that you're going through, don't worry, you won't be alone soon. You're going to find company. But it won't be with those who pull you up and make you better. It will be with other people that have already chosen beforehand that there's no point to the test. I'm telling you today that God doesn't waste anything. And that he is absolutely determined that you are the right person for the job. He has chosen you. And that choosing of you has signed you up to prove that you are the right one. And your attitude towards the test will determine how much fun you have. At the beginning of it, man, like first couple months of that, it was hard. I did not enjoy it at all. Nothing fun about it. You know, I get on that run and I'm running like, you know, 10-minute miles, so I'm 30 minutes into it. People are done and having lunch before I even finish the run, you know? Like, it's just, and when you're a competitor, that ain't no good, right? And, but what I found is that when I began to see the test as a way to prove my progression, when I began to see the test as having a point, I began to have an excitement in me and even a joy now towards the journey. And that joy did not exist beforehand. That joy began to enter into my soul as I embraced the process and saw the point of it, and that it was going to prove actually how mission ready I am. Are you alive this morning? I'm speaking metaphorically, but hopefully some of you can see through where we're heading this morning. If you have a Bible with you, would you please turn to James chapter 1? We're going to put it up on the screen this morning. This is your favorite verse in the Bible. James chapter 1, right? Everybody's favorite verse. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Look at this. Consider it all joy, my brethren. I feel like a southern accent is required. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing something, that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so you'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance having its perfect result, so that you will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. One of the ways that I approach the scripture, sometimes when I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to me out of a verse or a passage, and I'm reading it, you know, one of the tools or the tricks to discovering the revelation, what's the Lord trying to say here, is to meditate. The word meditate is to murmur, it's to mutter, it is to take a piece of scripture and chew on it, speak it out, talk about it, like put it in your mouth in such a way that you are mulling it over and mulling it over. It's the picture of a cow chewing its cud. It gets some grass, it chews it, it swallows it down, it regurgitates it, comes back up, it chews it some more, right? It swallows it down. Let's go through this process at least four times, right? And by the time that it swallows down for the final roll of digestion, that all the nutritional value has come out of it. Sometimes the Lord speaks to you and it just is so plain and obvious. You read the passage of scripture, it's right there. This is what he's saying. But it doesn't mean you got the full nutrition out of it. It doesn't mean that you got everything he was trying to say. You just got that first level of revelation. That's awesome. Swallow that down. Live it out. That's great. And then go back to it. See what happens. Chew on it some more. One of the things, the tools that I use when I'm doing this, you know, third, fourth process, is I'll take a passage of scripture and I'll actually approach it in reverse. Start with the end. God declares the end before he starts a matter. End from the beginning. And so sometimes I'll approach a scripture that way. So I'll take a passage, I'll start with the end in mind. Where is this heading? What's the result? Right? I'm a results-oriented person. Let's get to the ending. Right? Anybody in here ever read the last chapter of a book before you start a book? Anybody? Yes. Never thought about that before. If you don't like suspense, I mean, just get to the cut to the chase and let's move forward, right? So if you take this passage in reverse, let's walk it through, okay? Let's look at this one. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith is going to produce endurance, and endurance is going to end up leaving you lacking in nothing. So we know that the point of this is that you would lack nothing. You'd have everything you need before you take the next step. Before you walk through that door, like Pastor Nicole was sharing this morning, before you step through that door, you know that you have everything you need for the next season. The purpose of this process is so that you would be actually prepared for what's about to come. You got everything that you need before you take the next step. Back it up one more time. Look at that testing. Oh, man. Anybody in here enjoy taking tests? Yeah, some of us. Yeah, you're like, I don't really want to admit this in public. Okay. You know, when you approach tests feeling like you have to achieve something, then you sort of miss the point. If taking the test is for the grade, to achieve the A, to achieve a grade, then when you approach the content, you will study in such a way so that you can get the best grade, because the result you're looking for is a good grade. But if you will view tests a little bit differently, if you'll view tests with this end in mind, that you would lack nothing, that you would have everything you need before moving forward, then the test is actually there as a help. It's helping you to see what's missing. It's helping you to see what things you don't understand. It's not trying to disqualify you. It's trying to help you have everything you need before you move on. My son Josiah just recently went through driver's education. You know, all the classes, all the content, takes the permit test, passes with flying colors. Yay, he's driving, right? And so we go out. And he isn't driving our bus yet, but he's driving my car. And so we'll go out for drives, and you know, and there's lessons along the way. I'm teaching him. You know, there's been moments of great tension. you know, don't do that. Actually, he's a fantastic driver. He's doing great. But then there's this process where they do behind the wheel with an instructor. And so he was getting ready for the lesson with the instructor, and it's his first time out. He's never done it before. And I was noticing him. He was quiet and sort of keeping to himself. I was like, oh, hey, buddy, what's going on? And we discovered that he was just nervous. You know, I'd never done this before. I don't know what to expect. You know, stranger, never met this person before. I'm going to go drive for 2 hours. Like this, just all the unknowns. It was just totally normal. You know, you're doing something new, but it was a little bit beyond that. So we're exploring a little bit. I'm like, what's the nerves about? And what we realize is that he was feeling the pressure to perform with excellence for this instructor. And so he was worried that he didn't know what he needed to know. And we stopped it. We slowed down. We went, whoa. Yes, absolutely, behind the wheel with an instructor, it's about evaluating where you're at. But that evaluation isn't trying to disqualify you. It's trying to demonstrate where you have a lack so that you know what to work on so that you can pass the test, so you can be a good driver. And once the mindset shifted from I'm trying to perform for the test to I'm trying to discover what areas I'm still have the opportunity to learn and to grow in, all of a sudden the test itself, the trial, is an opportunity of discovery. When your mindset shifts concerning your trials, concerning the tests that you're going through, when your mindset shifts about the hard times that you face, when you begin to see and recognize that God is trying to help you see that there is something missing before you can take the next step, then you see the test as on your side, not working against you. Are you alive this morning? No driver instructor goes back to the shop and writes down the name of the student, disqualified. Do everything in our power to keep them off the road. Because that's not the point of the test. The point is to prove that you're mission ready. Performance evaluations are designed to help the student know what they're supposed to work on. God is a good father. In fact, he's a great father. He's an amazing father. And he is determined, resolute, absolutely focused on helping you discover the things that you are still needing to learn and grow in. It is part of his role is to help you see where there is deficiency, not to disqualify you, because he's already qualified you. He has already said, you are the man for the job. It's you. I chose you. But we have some things to work on here so that you become mission ready. And let me tell you, time is not something he is wringing his hands over. He's not worried about how long it takes. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. Moses got his calling, realized he was the man for the job, and went and killed an Egyptian. Where did he end up? The backside of a desert, getting to learn some things about himself, getting to figure out how to lead sheep, getting to deal with his temper, getting to learn to trust. Took him 40 years to learn the lesson, but when he was ready, look at that, he stepped right into his destiny without any issue. God's not worried about the time that it takes. There's no way to fake the results of the test. The calling is yours. He will not take it back. The gifting, it's yours. But the anointing, the thing that opens the doors, the anointing, the thing that goes before you, the mark of God on your life that makes the way that the divine provision is attached to, the angelic aid, the supernatural stuff that slams open doors that no man could open. That process, the anointing, yes, that comes on you when you're ready. How do you know you're ready? How do you know that you're ready? How does God prove to you that you are ready? The test. He takes you intentionally into trials. You might say to me, Pastor Jamie, God would never do that. He's a good father. Woo! He's a good father. So of course, he's going to prove that you actually are the man for the job. Of course he is. It's not meant to destroy you. It's meant to help you. It's meant to show you, to help you discover where there are deficiencies so that you will be lacking nothing when you step into that new, the new season. It's absolutely critical. You have to go through it. Look at this. God's a great father. And let me tell you, he is going to continue to test you until you become confident and strong, knowing that you can do it. How many times did Israel go around the mountain? The answer is, as many times as it took for them to be ready. That's a good word right there. You can go ahead and say an amen to that one. Listen, this gets better. Don't worry. Some of you are looking at me like, oh, dang. Like starting to look at your shoes, checking your watches. Come on, God, please let this be over fast. It's my birthday. I get to preach as long as I want today. You know why this is good news? Because God chose you. He chose you. I've heard people say, well, if you don't do it, then God will have someone else do it. Actually, I think that's a bunch of baloney. It's just junk. As if God is conducting a job interview. God's not like your earthly father. He's not like your earthly boss. The Father in heaven chose you, and he qualified you with the blood of his son. He said, you're the one for the job. Now, I need you to learn some things. I love prophetic words, because prophetic words, man, don't they give us, they give you courage. They're like, they're heaven's perspective about who God made you to be. Right? But he speaks the end from the beginning. He's talking about the person you're becoming. He's talking about heavenly perspective. That doesn't mean that you are behaving like that right now. Right? Between your prophetic destiny and where you are at right now is a journey. Amen. And he is taking you on that journey. And along the way, he's giving you little tests to prove that you're ready, to prove that you're ready, to prove that you're ready. Taking you right along the journey, helping you to grow in strength and endurance. You know, the first time I went on that 3-mile run, like I said, I puked my guts out. By the time I exited the military and left that, I was cranking out 3-mile runs. I was blowing past 3-mile runs. I'm going on 6-mile runs, and I'm running at the same clip. I'm heading towards a marathon. In fact, I was training for a marathon when I got my first back surgery because my right leg stopped working. That's how I knew something was wrong. Right? Like, because confidence had built inside of me. Because of the repetition and the strength that had been growing. Not because I was going to the gym, but because I was repeatedly tested and proved you can do it. Prophetic words point to your destiny, but when the word comes, it guarantees the test. Every word of the Lord gets tested. It's what happens. Yay! Come on, repeat after me. Yay! Yay! This is good. Trials prove your faith. Right? We'll just keep going backwards here. Right? The end result. We know the end result. We won't be lacking anything. The prophetic word says greatness. It says this is who you are. In between who you are right now and who you are becoming is a journey. Some of us, you're called to influence people. But right now, you're struggling to have even a few close friends. In between your calling to influence people and you right now where you're at, not even able to keep a close friend, tells me that there is a journey of social awareness that you really need to take. Some of your criticisms and your critiques of other people are actually self-judgments concerning your lacks. You see it in everyone else, but not realizing that what you're seeing is actually you. You're not seeing everyone else. Don't look at the plank in your brother's eye, or look at the speck in your brother's eye and ignore the plank in your own. The fact that you see it in your brother's eye means it's actually your problem, not theirs. So all of your criticisms and critiques of other people are really just reflections of your lack of social awareness. Dang. If you're called to influence people, doesn't that mean then there is a journey of actually growing in how to influence even a few? God's not going to slam you onto a stage and all of a sudden you become a world-influencing person if you can't even handle 10 of your friends. Friends, this isn't how it works. There's a journey in between, and God is brilliant. He knows how to get you there. And so you keep facing these tests. You're like, man, how come I keep ending up in jobs that are like dead end? I always end up with the bad boss. They're always harping on me about my work ethic. Okay. Yeah, it's the boss. We'll go with that. Or maybe. Maybe the fact that you keep going around the mountain is the opportunity to recognize that you're facing a test, and it continues to highlight the fact that there is something you have to learn. And God wants you. You're destined to take that next step forward. But he cannot allow you to take that next step forward until you have everything you need. The point of the trial is to prove that you have everything that you need. The Lord proves your faith because he is making sure that you have everything you need before letting you move forward out of your current season. This is an essential process. He does not mind that it takes time because heaven, hear this. Hear this from a heart that has gone through this, lives in this. Why do you think I'm preaching it? Man, I'm in this right now. Heaven cannot rest upon an unsteady foundation. And so if heaven is going to rest upon your life, it means that God has to test and prove the foundation of which he is going to add to. It has to be ready. The weightiness of heaven is far too great to just, trust me, I got this, God. No, no. He's going to make sure you got this. And lastly, consider it all joy. Consider it all joy. How in the world can a person have joy in the process of discovering how much they suck? This one, when I said it before, attitude is everything. The ones that carried a bad attitude into the pit, the reason they carried a bad attitude in the pit is because they already knew they're going to fail the test. They knew in their inner man that they weren't going to pass. They didn't have it. Why? Because they hadn't been working on it. Because they didn't actually have what it took. They were not mission ready. So they want to avoid the test and keep talking about how mission ready they are, but are unwilling to actually go through the process to prove that they are. And so when you find yourself avoiding the test, it's because you already know you're not going to pass. And the reason you know you aren't going to pass is because God's already asked you this question. He's already convicted you about something. He's already asked you to change in some area of your life, and you have been saying no. You avoided it. I got a little uncomfortable in here right now. That's... Consider it all joy. How can you move to joy? This part you cannot fake. The joy of the Lord is your strength, but that divine enablement, that strength comes and it rests upon faith that has been proven. It comes upon the life that has been tested and is worked on it and is going after it. Listen, you have anticipation towards a test when you have the confidence that you're going to pass it. I remember the exams in college and in high school, you know. I remember those exams that I was not sure. I wasn't ready for it, and so you dreaded the exam. But the ones that you had been studying for, you actually put the effort in. You actually know it. You knew the material. You went into that exam with confidence, and you were almost like a joy. Like, man, I can't wait. Right? It wasn't abacadabra. You know that one? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you were probably a good student. I was not. Ask someone that's laughing afterwards. They'll explain it to you. How do you have joy? Listen, I will tell you this. The longer the process that God has you in, the longer the trial, the greater the impact in eternity. The longer the process, some of you have been in a process, and he has been testing and proving you, testing and proving you, testing and proving you, testing and proving you. Like I said before, Moses, 40 years. 40 years of testing and proving, testing and proving. Why? Because he is about to become the theocratic leader of God's people. And once you step into that kind of position, there's no way to go back and fix the foundation. There's no way. Once you step out of anonymity onto that life stage where all of a sudden you become a public figure because the grace of God is resting on your life, the anointing of God has shoved you out into that place. There's no going back. You can't just go back and fix your marriage. We have seen this time and time again where people with unsteady foundations in their lives, they step out on that platform and the pressure of it all destroys them. I think the Lord takes us through the tests so that he can prove that you're ready. Don't ignore the tests. Don't force your way. Don't boost your post hoping that you'll get more likes, right? And artificially pump up your influence, assuming that you're ready. Listen, when the word of the Lord comes and you're actually speaking the word of the Lord and the anointing rests on it, you are not going to have to spend money to make people like you. They'll be beating a path to your door to get what you have because God is on it. That's a word for someone there. God is a father. Let's imagine this. He's a dad who's about to take a son on a hiking trip, backpacking trip into the mountains. They're about to go on a grand adventure. I mean, like it's the, they've been planning it for years. They've been talking about it. You know, which mountain range are we going to go to? Which trail are we going to hit? How many days are we going to spend out? You know, you're in the midst of, they've been talking about it for years. And now it's time. You feel the anticipation, the buildup, right? The dad one day, it's right before the trip, calls the son into the living room and says, hey, I need you to go and get your backpack and bring it in here. So the son goes and gets his fully packed pack into the living room. And dad says, pour it all out. Pour it out on the floor. This is exactly what God does to us, by the way. He says, pour it out on the floor. The son is like, dad, come on, I've been packing for months. Like, I know, I'm ready. Like, take my word for it, dad. Why are you going to all be up in my stuff? Why in the world are you that way? Come on, dad, don't you trust me? Isn't it funny how we get an attitude with people in authority when they ask you to prove it? When I'm called, I got the stuff. What do you mean I got to take the test? What do you mean I have to actually demonstrate that I have good character? What do you mean I can't be an elder when you're newly saved? What do you mean there's a process to this? A proving ground. What do you mean? I need to actually be mission ready and I have to prove it and demonstrate it with my life first. So the son takes the backpack in, right? He can have a bad attitude about this. Either way, the dad's saying, we ain't going unless you pour the pack out on the floor. So the son comes in, right? Pours the pack out on the floor. What's the dad doing? Dad goes in and he gets his pack too. And he comes in and he pours his pack out on the floor as well. And they begin to sift through the stuff. What is he looking for? He's looking to make sure that they have everything they need before hitting the trail. Not only that, but he's looking for the extra weight. He's looking for the stuff that is totally unnecessary. You're not going to need that, son. But dad, I'm gonna need it. No, trust me, you're not gonna need a television out on the trail. And 10 miles into that hike, you are going to be extra happy about the fact that dad made you move what you thought was necessary. I need. That 20 pounds of extra stuff you've been carrying around from a previous season that he demands you leave it behind before going on the adventure with him. So you got to leave it behind. Dad isn't demanding something weird out of the son. Dad is testing and proving that they are ready to take the next step, because once you get out onto the trail, you can't just call back. Oh, look at that. We forgot to pack a cooking pot. We weren't going to be able to boil water. We weren't going to be able to cook our food. We weren't going to be able to. Isn't it really good that God tests and proves? How, listen, think about this. There they are, dad and son. They're sifting through the stuff. They have the list. They're working through the list. They're making sure they have everything. They have been planning this for years. And now it's finally time. The anticipation grows and joy gets, it just starts to flow out of this moment. They're giggling about it. No one is mad that they're testing the pack. That son is not angry because dad says, hey, you don't need that. We do need this. Oh, look, we're missing something. We're making sure. We're testing and proving that we are actually ready for this. No. There will be joy in that moment. Why is there joy in the moment? Because there's such anticipation for what's about to come. Because when you pass the test, you know you're ready. Yeah. Oh my. When the prophetic word comes, it will try your soul. It will test your mettle. It has to. You will go through a process where God is going to make sure, because he's a good father, that you are actually ready to take those next steps. He's going to take you through it. He's not worried about how long it takes, but it's a necessary process, because once you cross that threshold, like Nicole said this morning, the door shuts to the past season. If you don't want to, that's fine. That's fine. Listen, he's patient. He'll take you around the mountain again. He'll take you around the mountain again. It isn't your eagerness that qualifies you for being ready. It's not your zeal that qualifies you for being ready. It's not how many times you signed up. It's not how many prophetic words. In fact, if you're getting lots and lots of prophetic words, congratulations. You're heading towards tests, a proving ground. You're going to the pit, baby. He's not trying to disqualify you. He's trying to qualify you. If you will approach your trials in this fashion, if you'll begin to think of them in this way, then you will begin to be able to consider your trials with joy, knowing that the trial itself and the testing of your faith will create an endurance. That endurance comes about because you've taken the test more than once. The longer the process, the greater impact in eternity. Listen, if you take the test and you pass the first time, that's awesome. That's wonderful. But it's probably not the big wave of impact that's going to hit the world. You went through it. That's great for your soul. It's good. You're moving on. But for those who want to make an impact in eternity, understand that the process is not just a one-time through. He is building endurance. He's proving you. Amen? Attitude is everything. You cannot fake it. The joy part of this is what demonstrates you're ready. When you can approach a trial, a hard time, like, man, when you are able, not surface joy. Listen, people fake stuff. I'm happy. Praise the Lord, brother. How are you doing? I'm great.
Praise the Lord, brother.
He put on a veneer. Going through a trial, it's actually difficult. And on the inside, you're like frustrated, you're angry, you're blaming people for what you're going through, you're like, all that's going on the inside. The point of the trial is so that stuff can be processed and you actually get to the other side of it. You're like, well, Pastor Jamie, every time you go through a trial, you go through that stuff. No, actually, no. No, there is a place of endurance where the test and the trial actually begins to be received with joy because you know it's about to prove the fact that you're ready. There's something that's transformed in the process, and that's what God's after. There are, and let me hit these fast, there are a few things, we'll hit these fast and then we're coming to a close. There are a few things that prevent people from moving forward. They are common. There's stuff that everyone faces, but you don't always see it when you're in the midst of it, and so it may be helpful for me just to point them out right now. So I'm gonna hit these fast, ready? Why wouldn't someone move forward? You got the calling, you got the gifting, you feel like you have all the knowledge. Why aren't the opportunities coming? Why aren't the doors opening? Why hasn't the anointing come that is takes me into my destiny? Why? What's going on here? One of the common reasons is that you don't actually have the skills. I know you're called to lead worship, but before we slam you straight onto a stage, you might want to try that out, not just in the shower. You might not actually have the skills. It sounds great to your dog. Listen, he sings along with you, you know? This is Proverbs 22, 29. Do you see a man who's skilled in his work? That man will stand before kings. Skill, actually know how to do it. That takes time, that takes practice. There's no such thing as just receiving it from on high and then you're automatically in. It's not how it works. Skills and confidence are grown. And it requires a series of smaller opportunities that prepare a person to be able to take advantage of the big opportunity. Like I said with worship, we'll just take that one. Listen, you're called to be a worship leader, you have prophetic words to be a worship leader. You might want to try that out on a small scale before we just slam you onto the stage. You're like, no, Pastor Jamie, I'm ready. Awesome. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to say yes to you. You're leading next week. Let's put you up there, and all of us in next week's service get to see if you actually are. And it's amazing the difference between what exists in our mind and when we think we're ready than when we actually are ready. Because there's a journey in between. It's the series of small steps in between that actually prepare you for the big one. Many people end up saying no to the small opportunities because they feel that their prophetic destiny has called them to something bigger. And so they say no to something smaller because they see themselves as bigger than that opportunity, not realizing that it is the small opportunities that open the doors to the big opportunities. In other words, if you're not willing to come and help youth out with worship, why in the world would I slam you on the stage and have you lead us all? You're not even willing to prove yourself in a small group Bible study to trying to lead worship out because you've seen yourself. No, I'm the next recording artist. That's awesome. Praise God for that. But you're going to need to test and prove it. And here's your opportunity. And people will say no to it because they think they're bigger than it. Because of what I do, my role here, I'll have aspiring preachers. People will come to me because they want a pastor. I feel called to do what you're doing. That's awesome. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and lead the fourth grader Sunday school class for a year. I want you to go teach fourth graders because if you can articulate theology to a fourth grader, you can communicate to anybody. And let me tell you, you're going to learn some things about holding people's attention in that class with minimal risk that you're going to destroy your calling when you finally get there. You're called to lead. That's awesome. Want to be a pastor? Start a Bible study. Let's see if you can hold the attention and lead 10 of your friends. Because if they come back week after week and they're inviting other people and your influence is growing, see, that's proving that you actually have a gear of leadership. You can jump from that into leading something big very easily. But if you refuse to take the test, then it doesn't prove that you're ready for the next step. And so one of the pitfalls is that people say no to small opportunities, thinking that they're bigger than that, not understanding that they're actually shutting the door to their next season. Don't do it. Say yes to what God brings to you. Say yes to small opportunities. They're the pathway. They're what prove you're ready. Second thing, fear of failure. Opportunities come knocking, but because you're scared and you don't want to fail, you refuse to take the test. Third thing, overconfidence in your own ability. This one's great. Romans 12:3. Through the grace that's been given to me, I say to you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Think with sober judgment. Look at the fruit of your life. I know God says this about you, but the fruit of your life tells you where you're at on the journey. And it's the small incremental steps, it's the opportunities, it's retaking the test that sets you up to take the next step. They prove you're ready. So don't say no to those. And in the midst of having to take on opportunities, there's something that begins to develop inside of you. You begin to develop a desperation for God to show up because you know you can't do it on your own. And the last thing, people will blame circumstances. They will blame other people. They will blame stuff that has happened to them, saying that the reason why they can't accomplish, they can't do, they can't move on is because of somebody else. That is a bunch of hooey. Nobody has that much power over you. Nobody does. Stuff that has happened to you, listen, it's bad. I know that person injured you. Maybe they destroyed your opportunity. Maybe they actually did something that has prevented you from moving on. Nobody has that much power, my friends. Nobody has the power, no one, no circumstance has the power to pluck you out of your race. If God has called you to it and you face a trial, a test, an opportunity for you to get bitter, the work of the devil came against me. Yeah, the devil's a pawn. You can't even blame the devil on this one. He does not have authority over God's word. The devil isn't in the way. The devil can't stand against the word of the Lord. It can't prevail against the word of the Lord. Listen, the test proves you're ready. I know bad stuff has happened to you. I know that the circumstances shifted and changed, and it's not what you thought it was going to be, and there's disappointment, and there's frustration, there's angry. Listen, if you blame, if you forecast, and you say, I can't do it because, and you point at that thing, you will have a bad attitude, you will withdraw from the test. And it won't be because that God pulled you out or disqualified you. It was because you chose to withdraw yourself. And what a sad, sad day that would be. The test and the trial is proving that you're ready because God is determined. He's chosen you. You are the right man for the job. Come on, repeat after me. I'm the right man for the job. Would you stand to your feet today? Yeah, buddy, you did it. Congratulations. You got through it. You pat yourself on the back there. Good job. Come on, let's come before the Lord. Lord, here we are. We will not be dismayed. We won't be put off. We're not going to be frustrated by the trials because we're recognizing, God, that you're just helping us to see where we've lacked. Lord, we know we can't fake the test results, and you are absolutely proving, Lord, that we are the right person for the job. And so, Lord, we're able to have joy. We're considering it joy this morning because it's you who's in the midst of it. He's taken you through the valley. He doesn't want you to live there. He's leading you across. He doesn't want you to stay stuck. I know you feel powerless right now, but you're not. You're not stuck. You're not powerless. He's in the midst of it. He is a good shepherd. And he is proving to you that you got the stuff. The prophetic word came, and now the test has come. And he's making sure that you are ready to take the next steps. In this last season, we had the prophetic word. The Lord said, you're going to build the building. You're supposed to. You're supposed to expand. So we put our hands to it. And you know what happened? Lo and behold, trials and tests. Isn't that awesome? And the trials and tests, what did they do? They exposed the stuff that we were lacking. Areas that we had to improve. Things that we needed to have in place that we didn't have in place before. And as we persevered, as we kept taking steps, what happens? The Lord makes sure that we have what we need before we take the next step. Listen, church. Here we were. We came to the bank. They said, you need this much money. We went, yay, we're going to go for it. We went for it. We accomplished that much money. And then all of a sudden, they're like, whoops, you need a little bit more money. In that moment, we have a test and trial. And what does it do? It showed us where we were lacking. In that moment, your pastor had a very bad attitude. A year and a half, 2 years of this process, you know where we ended up? We've ended up knowing exactly what we are needing. We have ended up in desperation for the Lord. We have ended up in a place where we know the gap. God is proving that we're ready. He's proving. He's making sure the foundation is solid before we step into that next season. Because let me read. This is what the next season holds. Let me prophesy over you this morning. Listen to this. Open your heart this morning. Receive this as the word from the Lord. The next 5 years, this church will double in size and then it will double again. The reason why it is going to double in size and then double again is because of all the people that are getting saved. Because of a move of God, what he is doing in here. We will send, as a congregation, hundreds of missionaries out into the nations. We will be planting churches in nations around the world. Creativity and solutions that generate great wealth will be given into this congregation. And our region will become known for new industries. Come on, hear it this morning. Let the Lord inspire your heart. Worship is going to go to a whole new level. Songs will be written in this place that become anthems for the next generation. Wow, there's a lot less amens than I ought to be hearing this morning. Books and resources will bring sweeping change to the body of Christ. Champions of the Lord will rise from the midst of us. Men and women will become famous for love. A move of God like we have never seen previously is going to sweep through our land. Thousands upon thousands will come to faith in Jesus. There will be, hear me again, there will be government reforms that are initiated from the state of Minnesota and mark our nation for another great awakening. God will raise up major government officials out of our midst. There will be an adoption movement. Families that never thought that they would consider adopting children, the orphans will find a home here at the house. Many nations will gather here. The color of our congregation is about to change dramatically because it is diversity of peoples in heaven and on earth as it is in heaven. This place will reflect the heavenly reality. Great injustices will be addressed and reconciled in this place. Many bridge builders and repairers of the breach will be sent from here. God is going to do a work among us that it would seem as if it were a fairy tale, that you would not believe it unless you had seen it with your own eyes. The Lord is doing something in our midst that will change everything, and he is making sure that we are ready. He's testing and proving. Because we are here and this threshold, we are to step through to a new day, leaving behind and clinging towards the future. The Lord is making sure we have everything that we need. Father in heaven, in this place this morning, we've given you thanks. We've offered ourselves this morning, God, all that you do. We say yes and amen. Lord, you're testing and proving that your word is true. We're so grateful for it. We're so grateful for it. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you, God, for how far we have come in the legacy campaign. God, I thank you, Lord, for what remains to be accomplished. I thank you, God, that you have prompted and you have spoken to hearts, and that within the congregation, God, you've brought all that we need into this place. And Lord, we trust you with that. I know there are many hearts right now. You're saying to yourself, come on, I want to know exactly where we're at so I know what to give. No, no, no. I'm sorry. We are fully trusting the Lord here. What he has asked is that you participate. What he has asked is that you bring your vessel, and he's going to pour into you, and he's going to give through you. Father in heaven, we've trusted you with this. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you for the vessels here, and I'm asking, Father, that even in these closing moments of the service today, God, if there, Lord, is gift ready to give, Lord, if there is commitments to be made, Lord, over the next 3 years to give, Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking that you would remind people of what you've already said, Lord, and that you would bring in that harvest even today, Father. If you haven't responded, you know you're supposed to or you're wanting to, there should be cards in the backs of the seats in front of you, commitment cards. We'd ask that you turn those in before you leave today. You can get those to any one of the elders as well. Father, once again, we give you thanks for where we're at. Lord, we'll report, we'll bring the report next week. God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for this church. I thank you for all that you're doing, God, even in the tests, even in the trials. Lord, I bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord be so gracious to you, like obnoxiously gracious to you. And when people look at your life, they go, what in the world? Life is so good for you. May the Lord so bless your life that he would give you such favor upon your life, that he would keep you and protect you, that he would lead you, and that everywhere you go, that his kingdom of peace would advance. Father, I decree this blessing over your people this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody, again, be careful here. Everyone who dared to agree with these things said, amen. Amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord today? Amen.